go.
All this much, the country's doing just fine. Right, Sam?
You were so right, boy.
Them city folks and weans are pretty much alike.
Though they ain't used to living in the sticks.
We don't like stone or cement.
But we is in agreement.
When we gets down to talking politics, the country's in the very best of hands. The best of hands. The best of hands. The Treasury says the national debt is climbing to the sky.
And government expenditures have never been so high.
It makes a fella get a gleam of pride within his eye to see how our economy expands. The country's in the very best of hands. The country's in the very best of hands. The best of hands. The best of hands.
The farm bill should be 89% of parity.
Another fella recommends it should be 93.
But 80-95%, who cares about degree? It's parity that no one understands. The country's in the very best of hands.
Us voters is connected to the nominee. The nominee's connected to the treasury. When he ain't connected to the treasury, he sits around in his thigh bones. They sits around in this place they got, this big congressional parking lot. Just sits around in there, you know what? Up there they calls in their thigh bones.
Them bones gonna rise again, gonna exercise the franchise again, gonna tax us up to our eyes again. When it gets them off in their thigh bones.
The country's in the very best of hands. The best of hands. The best of hands.
Them GOPs and Democrats each hates the other one.
They's always criticizing how the country should be run.
But neither tells the public what the other's gone and done. As long as no one knows where no one stands.
The country's in the very best of hands.
Money that they taxes us, that's known as revenues.
They compound the collateral, subtract the residues.
Don't worry about the principal and interest that accrues. They're shipping all that stuff to foreign lands. The country's in the very best of
Hey, that's a pretty good one, Lynn. Thanks a lot. It's Monday, July the 15th, the Ides of July, 2024. And this is the Fakeologist Show. We brought Lynn back because who wants to talk Trump? I do. Everyone wants to talk Trump. I guess this is the biggest psyop, well, since COVID's anyway, Lynn. So,
Yeah.
Why did you pick that one, by the way? The country's in the very best of hands. Obviously, well, it's ironic.
If you're old enough to remember the Sunday comic strips that used to come every weekend, Al Capp had a cartoon called Little Abner, which is a kind of a, you know, I remember
Little Abner, right? Yeah, it was in every newspaper because it was harmless.
Right. It was a knock on country people to some extent, on hillbillies, kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies, kind of before the Beverly
Appalachia.
Hillbillies.
Yeah.
They all lived in Dog Patch, USA, and a musical was made out of it, as you can see.
Yeah.
With Stubby Kay and some other top performers. And I guess it came out in the early 1960s, or maybe late 1950s, early 1960s, but a lot of great songs. But that particular song stuck with me. I remember seeing that in the movie theater on the big screen. I don't know, maybe I was like 10 years old or something, but that the country's in the very best of hands. Sure it is. So I thought it'd be appropriate since a lot of the issues mentioned in that song are still, they're more current than ever. So that's why I thought it was appropriate. It's good that we could still laugh over just a little bit.
All right. Yeah. Well, apparently my premium membership isn't quite working with the restream tonight. So the only reason I paid for Twitter just for this month to see how it worked is I had a lot of people watching on Twitter. It's really interesting. I don't know why, but so I'm sorry I'm not streaming tonight on Twitter. But you can still go to fakotube.com, of course. That's my user-supported platform. You support it. I really appreciate that. And, of course, we're also on YouTube and DLive and Odyssey, actually. Well, thanks very much for everyone coming on tonight. So we're going to talk more Trump with Lynn for about an hour. And where do you want to start?
Well...
Oh, yeah. You sent me an article. Yeah. Sorry. Go ahead.
Well, let's first look at a little of this Tim Truth video, because there have been a number of excellent deconstructions of this whole event and the details. And his is really one of the best, maybe the best I've seen.
Okay.
It's about 15 minutes long. We don't have to play the whole thing, but just the beginning to, because he points out how the Secret Service actually moved photographers immediately before the shots were fired. It's like a dead giveaway. So let me play it.
Yeah,
see if we can play this. And
all right, I've got a huge bombshell for you today. We have behind the scenes footage catching the Secret Service clearing the backstage behind Trump. As far as stage magic goes, these would be some of the key vantage points, the key angles, the key lines of sight to see if something was applied to Trump's ear, if any fake blood was applied, etc. And to see the moments after Trump falls to the ground. Remember, his ear is turned to the right, I think deliberately. So nobody in the front of the stage can see any blood until he stands up with his fist in the air. And they move the photographers to the front of the stage, knowing, I think, that Trump would stand up, fist in the air, bloodied ear, for the photos to be seen around the world. So it's unclear exactly the role of the photographers in all of this. If they were waiting for the signal, or if they're just oblivious and just pawns in the game, I'm not sure. But let's do a deep dive and analyze this crucial new piece of evidence. And now note the timing here. This wasn't after the shots ring out. This was right before the shots started. The Secret Service can be seen clearing the backstage, putting the photographers to the front, where they'd have to wait and wait and wait for Trump to stand up with his fist in the air, so they can snap all these iconic photos. Why did the Secret Service usher these photographers to the front of the stage at this point in time? You can hear the shots ring out just after they're cleared. This evidence is a total game changer. Check this out.
What happened to our country? Probably 20 million people. And you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened.
All right, check this out. There's some really weird behavior from the Secret Service and the photographers. A couple of new vantage points. And I've synced them up with the vantage point that people have seen millions and millions and millions of times from the front. Right before the shots start ringing out, just moments before the shooting, this Secret Service officer stands up out of nowhere, comes over to the photographers, and gives them a cue. He ushers them forward to the front of the stage to start taking photos. So I've watched this a number of times. It looks like he's pushing them forward. He's shooing them forward using the back of his hand and kind of shooing them forward. He's also pointing, pushing them along. Right before the shots ring out, he's clearing the back of the stage of photographers and or directing them to their position for the iconic photo capturing. Wow. And then seconds later, the shooting begins. These photographers can be seen running around frantically and fearlessly, snapping photos of Trump when he's on the ground and when he stands back up and is ushered off the stage. I find the order of events here very peculiar. The Secret Service guy comes up. I wish I could read lips. If anybody can read lips, send me an email, timtruth@protonmail.com. He ushers them forward to the front of the stage, and they just go right away. Is this some sort of collusion between the photographers who snapped these iconic photos and the Secret Service? How did this interaction happen just moments before the shooting started? What does the Secret Service officer say to the photographers just moments before? as he ushers them to the front of the stage for photos. In what would become the most viewed photographs of their careers, I'm sure. The number of people who've seen these photos just back to back to back to back to back over the last 2 days is astounding. Everywhere. You scroll through Twitter, you see these photos dozens of times. On every single thumbnail that you see on the social media sites. In every single news story. These were the photos that were seen around the world. Of Trump standing up with the fist in the air, with the American flag waving behind him. Such a photogenic event. What is going on in this interaction right before this all kicks off? Are the acts of the journalists in line with normal human behavior in an active shooting situation?
What happened to our country? Probably 20 million people. And you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened.
What happened to our country? Probably 20 million people. And you know, that's a little bit old, that chart. That chart's a couple of months old. And if you want to really see something that's sad, take a look at what happened.
Some good screaming in there.
The screaming is
stupid and ridiculous. That's pure theatrics, the screaming.
Who's Hawkeye? Is Hawkeye Trump?
If people were really that...
We are watching live at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania, where former President Trump was speaking on the stage. There has been some kind of disturbance that clearly sets law enforcement and Secret Service into motion, immediately jumping around the former president in a protective mode. The crowd has been screaming. They are standing by. You can hear some voices there saying, are we ready to go? Are we ready to go? We are looking at President Trump. This does not look good. I'm going to be honest with you, from what we can see right here, it looks like they are attempting to move him out, that he may have been injured. He is holding up his arm. He is pumping his fist, but clearly Secret Service wants to get him out of this situation.
Lots of different angles, that's for sure.
Yeah. You can stop this anytime.
I can think of a couple possibilities
you're
here.
Playing
the vantage point
you're
from behind
the
exposes many lines of sight.
That's
many
you
angles
playing it, Lynn. You got to stop it.
That would expose any operation such as putting fake blood on Trump's ear.
Lynn,
now, granted, if such a.
Okay. I would probably.
Yeah, that's good. You are in control of the audio there.
Right.
So
I've posted a link to this thing, I guess, in the blog.
Yeah.
Maybe I should put one in the forums because it's so well done. It's so beautifully done, the way he explains things and shows the back of the stage and the front of the stage side by side with the, it's just very well done the way he explains this. And, you know, to me, it's like a dead giveaway, but there's so many other things as well. Apparently they've now said that the weapon involved was an AR-15. Is that what we're hearing?
You know what? You know more than me. I haven't paid one bit of attention to
that. You know,
that's why I wanted to bring you on, because I'm out of it.
I'm not necessarily a firearms expert, but the AR-15 is not particularly well known as a sniper rifle. From a distance, of they're saying this guy was like how many yards away? 300, 500, 1,000. I mean, he was quite a distance away, they're claiming. So why would anybody be using an AR-15 with a scope, you know, with a high-powered scope? They'd be using a real sniper rifle, which typically are bolt-action rifles. They're not automatics.
Right.
So they had to drag the... And actually, originally, the very first claims were that it was a handgun. How did they know that? But then it became an AR-15. So you can see how this thing is playing out. And then, of course, we now have the video of...
By the way, Tim Truth has three videos in the series, according to the show notes on his BitChute. Right. Sorry to interrupt. Did you watch them all?
Yeah, yeah. He's not only on BitChute, he's also on Rockfin and Odyssey. You can get him there, too.
Okay.
Right, I don't think they're going to be allowing him on YouTube much, but...
I don't know. Why do they allow Mr....
That's a good question.
Mr. Jesuit, what's his name? Zachary Hubbard. He's breaking down these things by the numbers.
Yeah, I think it's just the algo isn't always picking them up or something.
Why do we need an algo? We got real people that are moderating, I'm sure.
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, you know, they're cheap. You know, the people we're up against, they're really cheap. If they can do it on the cheap, they will. You can see that. They're not, you know, it's not like they're busting their budget all the time. Although they do have unlimited budgets for these movies, which is just these PSYOPs, which are basically movies packaged for TV news. But, you know, to me, the reaction of the crowd at this event doesn't seem convincing at all. I mean, if I'm close to a stage.
Yeah.
Either behind the stage or in front of it, and all of a sudden, I think shots are being fired at that stage, I'm going to be running like hell, right? Or maybe dropping on the ground flat. You see people ducking, but to me, the reaction is not convincing at all. And then the screaming, you know, I've always hated that since when I was very little. There's always some other little kids that'd be screaming.
The 9/11 scream, too. Remember?
Yeah. That's the old, you know, the boy that cried wolf. Like, what the hell are you screaming about? Whenever you hear anybody screaming at one of these things, that's just pure expression. That's their artistic expressionism as a crisis actor. Because they think that's the way.
Yeah, they think that's how you react. By the way, I wanted to tell you, I've been listening to Scott Adams lately, even though he's a total
normie. He's a shill. What's he say?
Well, he uses the dog doesn't bark just like you do. He's you might want to listen to him because he says he's registered as a Democrat for his own safety, but he's a Trump supporter. But he's not a fakeologist at all, but he's a hypnotist, he says, so it's interesting to listen to him talk.
They discuss him on Curry on No Agenda podcast usually too. They rip
sometimes
refer to him sometimes, so
Well,
you know, I guess the reason why Scott stopped taking Scott Adams seriously is because the way he flip-flopped on the vax and on the COVID.
Maybe,
he didn't know what he was doing there, but he seems to have finally come around to some common sense, but...
A little bit.
Yeah,
well, he also found Jesus, so...
Right.
That's not helpful when it comes to John C. is, I guess, a confirmed atheist, so...
Everybody has
just like that.
Come to Jesus moment.
Well, yeah, he did. So this is another one of Tim Truth's video. By the way, when I start a show, make sure you sign up for new posts on the blog, because when there's a new post on the blog, that's when we're doing a show. I'll put the show notes on there. So you can comment, leave permanent comments in the show notes at fakeologist.blog. So I'll put a link to this video here on Tim Truth on the Fakeologist site. This is FAK 912, by the way, or 913, excuse me.
Now, this latest event on Saturday is a great litmus test for us.
Yeah, it is. You're right.
Because I am encountering people not only on social media, but out there in the world. Like a couple hours ago, I was sitting in a local bar restaurant.
Yeah.
And gotten a discussion with the guy that was sitting a couple seats down, and I didn't start it. I didn't initiate it really, but I think it was something we saw on television and he was caught on the screen.
Are you sitting at the bar like in Cheers?
Yeah, that's how I prefer to do that. I don't like having to wait for a table. So if I come in and the tables are full, I just sit at the bar and order my dinner there, you know?
Okay, I got it. And so there's always someone else.
Well, I know the bartender. I know the bartenders. I tip them generously. And, you know, it's a whole neighborhood thing. I like supporting local businesses. But this guy said, I don't know what's real and what isn't anymore. He said, nothing they're saying about this makes any sense. Right?
I love this Carrot Top guy. He's got, you know, he looks like Beaker from the Muppets with the orange hair.
Oh, you talk, who are you talking about? The
Is this not showing? I'm not playing the right tab here. Sorry, this clown.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Beaker. Oh, this is Beaker with the orange hair.
Is that his name, Beaker? He's claiming in there.
You remember
that,
Beaker from the Muppets?
Yeah, that he personally witnessed the shooter get his head blown off.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
I really don't.
He was behind where they could see. But why is there not Secret Service on all of these roofs here? I mean, this is not a big place.
Did you see, I mean, obviously everyone, when the shooting started, everyone was very panicked. Did you see what happened to him at all?
Oh, yeah, they blew his head off.
Okay, sorry.
Secret Service blew his head off.
Okay.
Now, is this like the guy on 9/11 who, the famous Mark guy from Fox News?
Mark Walsh.
Walsh.
The Harley guy.
You got it. Is this the same kind of guy explaining everything?
It certainly looks like it, doesn't it? He's got a complete explanation for everything.
Everything. Yeah. He's got it all. He's the Harley guy of this.
And so they supply the narrative for the PSYOP, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
And then that becomes the official history, I suppose, until people start picking it apart. But, you know, to me, that Phil did we discussed this last night, Phil's breakdown of the magic bullet, as we're going to be calling it now.
Yeah.
Which would be an impossible image to capture unless you had really high speed camera with high speed film and, you know, ready and waiting. I mean, it's almost impossible.
It's not possible.
Yeah, right. And as I said, it reminded me of the hijacker's passport found in the rubble of 9/11. Another one that
impossible evidence.
Yeah. And you wonder, why do they do this? I guess they're testing people, because I got to believe there are plenty of firearms enthusiasts out there, firearm owners, people who are familiar with the AR-15. There are a lot of AR-15 owners out there, maybe in our audience.
Yeah, not me, but whatever, yeah.
No, I mean, either. But they should be able to look at that whole... And also, here's something else. You get hit by an AR-15, and it's not just going to be a little bit of blood, believe me. If Trump got hit anywhere with an AR-15, there'd be a hell of a lot more damage than just a little bit of red paint on his ear.
Yeah.
So, because I've seen the size of an AR-15 round, you know, it would have taken the side of his head off. You know, it's so ridiculous. It does kind of remind me a little bit of this famous story of Teddy Roosevelt. Maybe this is what inspired this. Teddy Roosevelt, he was vice president under William McKinley. We had the Spanish-American War, 1898. McKinley was assassinated a few weeks into his second term. And so Teddy Roosevelt, as vice president, became the president. So he then served out the term. He ran again and was elected. And then he was succeeded by his vice president, William Howard Taft, who he had a falling out with. So by the time the election of 1912, I guess it would. Let me think about this. Yeah, the one that elected Woodrow Wilson, what happened was... Teddy had a falling out with his former vice president, Taft. When Taft got the Republican nomination, Teddy Roosevelt started a third party called the Progressive or Bull Moose Party, and he went around doing a whistle stop tour. And he was so effective that he split the vote. He split the Republican vote. And so Taft, who really would have had the election wrapped up because he was popular, many of the Taft voters went over to Teddy Roosevelt and they split the vote. And that is how Woodrow Wilson became president. And of course, what do we get? We got the Federal Reserve. We got the income tax. We got entry into World War I, all kinds of things. Now, when Teddy Roosevelt was campaigning as a third party candidate, kind of like Trump, you know, the troublemaker, so the how do I put it? The flat catcher. At one of these rallies, he was shot at, and allegedly he had his speech in 50 pages folded up in his chest pocket of his jacket, his suit jacket, with, I don't know, maybe a little metal case or something like that. But the claim was that the bullet hit him right where the heart is, but that this cluster of papers in his pocket kept the bullet from doing any more than penetrating a muscle. And Teddy went on to give us a 90-minute speech, allegedly with this bullet in his chest. That may be a true story. You know, I don't know. Phil's got to look at that. But you can see how Trump, how the Trump people would have said, this is what we need to really boost our image just before the Republican convention. So the scheduling of it would have been perfect. Another Teddy Roosevelt moment. I'm just seeing too much skepticism on social media to believe that a former Secret Service officer, Dan Bongino, really believes that this thing was authentic. Because he's out there running around now, this scum, damn, he's a real lowlife, this Dan Bongino. Hear him on AM radio, and I guess he's got a podcast too. He knows better. He knows this thing was staged, but he's out there towing the party line and running a sort of secondary psyop that, oh, it's the diversity, equity, inclusion problem in the Secret Service that caused this.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, brother. Yeah, wow. That's real reach.
Yeah.
Hey, why don't we bring on the Petra story? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, let me see if I can do a screen.
I want to do about an hour tonight because we'll be back tomorrow night with another hour. So I don't want to. Yeah.
Yeah. I came across this.
By the way, Trump chooses Senator J.D. Vance as his VP.
I saw that.
I don't really care, but he's a young guy anyway. New young blood can't hurt.
He's considered an authentic conservative, I suppose. I don't know what that means anymore, but all right, let me share the screen here. Here we go.
Dave J said McKinley was not assassinated. That was a story as well. Okay, that's fine.
Well, what do? They disappear him to an island somewhere? I mean, I don't know. Allegedly.
Dave J says, if you see the latest Trump hoax, the firefighter is pictured with the number 50.
They're also, by the way, not only does the history tell us that McKinley was assassinated at the beginning of his second term, but the assassin, an alleged anarchist, was one of the first people executed in the electric chair, we're also told. So maybe if that was faked also. So anyway, I've shared the screen on this. This was an article on Substack at a Substack location called PsyOp Detective.
Yes, and I like that. It's by Petra Liverani.
Liverani, right.
Liverani. She must be a Venetian.
And this is a great, you can get the drift of this article where I'll read some of it because it's really good.
Yeah, go for it.
Well, it's one of the publication this is in is one that I've been following for a couple years now.
Off Guardian. You like Off Guardian.
I really do because the articles deal with exactly the questions that we raise here. And even if they don't necessarily go along with fakeology or auto hoaxing, the comments are always excellent. There's always someone in the comments. We've got our people everywhere. You know what I'm saying?
They're on this Substack. Yeah, I'd recommend it.
And initially, Kit Knightley, who's a regular columnist at Off Guardian, published a piece called "The Rise of the False
Hold
Flag."
Time. Well, hold on a second. 1:15.
Derek wants to call. Derek, do you want to say something?
Yeah. I was in the hospital two times this over the weekend.
Yeah, you okay?
But long story short, yeah, I got something wrong with me, but whatever. They're trying to figure it out. But I was in the best place for the attempted assassination because I was questioning the doctors about, you know, if you get shot in the air. And one of the, you know, because if you get shot in the air, you bleed. I cut myself.
Oh, yeah. You asked the doctors. That's very funny. That's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. yeah, so one of the doctors, obviously I didn't go all the way, but I'm like, that just doesn't make sense. He was shot, you know, and he's not bleeding profusely. And he was thinking for a while, but he's like, yeah, that's kind of weird. And the next doctor had a good theory. His theory was the bullet grazed him, and the speed and the heat of the bullet sealed the wound.
Right. Sure.
Cauterized it. That's funny.
That's almost as good as Trump claiming God protected him.
Right.
Yeah. Hi, Lynn.
Hey, how's it going?
So are you saying that the doctors are just practicing cognitive dissonance as well? Coming up with just ridiculous. Even they can't figure it out.
Yeah, it's 50-50, but they all know something is fucked up in the world. And with COVID, because I'm openly about that, and all of them in there, you know, the ER, the doctors where you are in the ER room, because I was in there for like 8 hours, and I was talking to everyone that came in to me, you know, just to get their opinion. But, and half of them even think it's fake. The staff, I'm like, they agree it's fake. So I was amazed to hear that.
Yeah, because usually the doubters were fired in hospitals, so you're only left with the believers. That's part of the problem.
You mean they're saying the COVID is fake? Or
event. One of the Reds agreed with me 100% on the COVID thing.
You're located in New England somewhere.
Yeah,
right?
I went to Boston the first time, the city hospital, which is a complete. There's literally people coming off the plane with their luggage into the emergency room from other countries. It's
very famous, yeah.
Isn't that something?
The hospital, I mean, the corridors, the waiting room is just filled with illegals. It's insane.
Wow. that's
so don't go to Boston if you need immediate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll let you speak. Go ahead, Lynn.
Well, I go up to Johns Hopkins. I don't need to explain who they are. And my doctor's up there at Johns Hopkins Bayview, which is a huge complex. It's like this giant campus they've got. But, you know, I don't see too many migrants there. This is here in Baltimore. So, I don't know. It sounds to me like certain cities like Boston, New York, are really getting hit hard with this migrant thing. You know, almost like they're being targeted.
I swear I'm not exaggerating. I should have taken videos, but I don't really know how to operate it. But a family came in. I mean, a family with luggage and their tags on their suitcases rolling in. The whole family, like 6 kids, a father and a mother. It's insanity.
And why were they? Why were they in the emergency room? I mean, or was it just for a regular medical?
Yeah,
I have no idea. I think they just must have came off the plane from Logan and they bring him there. I don't know.
Wow.
Okay, let's get back on topic, Lynn. Let's get back to the article. But thanks for the update.
Yeah, and that tends to confirm what he's saying tends to confirm what we're running into, that they've overreached themselves this time. They really have. And
we always say that, though, don't we?
We do, but it keeps getting more and more that, I mean, crazier and crazier and crazier. The narrative becomes more and more implausible. And it's like you start seeing pieces of the audience kind of breaking away and saying, hey, this time I'm not buying it. That's what I'm seeing and hearing all over social media. So
I'm going to go to, I'm sorry, Lynn.
No. It's good to hear from you.
Yeah, so I'm going to stick with the story that the bullet, the heat, sealed the wound.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I love that.
You know, when I heard that, I'm like,
You know what that reminds me of? There's an analysis of the videos of the plane hitting the South Tower on 9/11 called Magical Healing Columns. In other words, it's the same kind of thing. You know, it heals itself. The wound heals itself on video.
All right, go back.
Derek, can you go watch the Republican National Convention if it's on YouTube? Because apparently today is the day they're supposed to finish Trump off, according to.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So can somebody?
I'll do that.
Can somebody monitor the affiliate for us? Because we need to break in if this actually happens.
And I wanted to type in YouTube, but it wouldn't let me type. It's an AR-15, but it has an extended bump stock on it. It wouldn't let me.
Ah, the bump stock. Yeah.
Yeah, an extended
bump
one.
Stock.
So you can't type in AR-15 or bump stock or both.
It wouldn't send the message through. It wouldn't do it. So I tried to, like, you know, rephrasing it, but
you need to use code for AR-15.
Yeah, I did use a code, but it's hard to keep up. But I wouldn't let you put in AR-15 bump stock.
Is the AR-15 words like AR-15 and bump stock being censored by the algorithms?
Yeah.
What? How do they know? How do they know the context? You might be calling for banning the AR-15, and they're going to censor. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Okay. And that's overkill. That's urge overkill is what that is. They're heavy-handed about it. They're so heavy-handed, so ham-fisted about it. It really exposes them. It really does.
Yeah, it does.
And the people who are still towing the party line on this ridiculous psyop, they're exposed. And that's a good point that's made in this article by Petra Liverani.
Yeah, let's get back to that.
Yeah, well, what she does is she starts off explaining the basics of where the phrase false flag comes from. It comes from piracy, naval piracy, or naval warfare, where you fool your enemy by running the wrong flag up. The attack is very real, only the flag is false.
Okay.
But recent years have seen the rise of a new idea, the false flag. That is to say, entirely fake, quote unquote, events with only the barest relationship in objective reality, blanks, which would be simunition, and crisis actors, fake victims, and fake shooters. So this is a perfect expression of Jean Baudrillard's simulacrum, right? In phase four of the simulacrum, the simulation bears no relationship at all to any objective reality. It's a complete fabrication. Whereas in the beginning, it might be like a theme park, like Disney World or something. By the time you get to the fourth phase of it, it doesn't resemble any objective reality at all. It's a complete fabrication. This idea of a false flag reminds me a little bit of the phrase that Tim Osman uses at Infinite Plane Society. We all listen to that.
Yeah, I do.
Of the anti-anti, right? The idea that it's kind of like a double negative in a way. But yeah. It's the idea that, well, it's being presented as a false flag. But that in itself is false because the whole event is fake. And let me read on what she says here because I love the way she puts this. My question, though, is has there ever been a real false flag? Are all alleged false flags really just 100% psyop, where not only is the claim of who's responsible false, but the alleged act itself is also false? A priori, why not? Why should we believe any part of a story without very clear and convincing evidence when we know that part of it is false? And if the perps can make the anticipated disbelievers of their obviously false story get it at least partly wrong, wouldn't they prefer to engineer that situation rather than let them get it completely right? In other words, the perps who are doing this, they don't want us calling it out as fake and a hoax. They would rather have us call it out as a false flag. That's true. And there's a diagram that she has here. Can you see that?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. That's a great way to express it. On the left, you see what appears to be a false flag. So A blames B for action C, which really was committed by A. So let's take October 7th, Israel's 9/11. We're told that Hamas attacked Israel. If it was a false flag, well, that means Israel did it and tried to blame it on Hamas.
All right.
But here's the thing. And here is the, and I have to be really humble here because for a long time, I have argued that we're being dogmatic, we're being nitpicky about people who use the phrase false flag. And that may have been reasonable a few years ago, maybe 10 years ago, even 5 years ago. But now I guess I've had to correct my views on this and come around. Now, I do still want to consider the frame-up aspect of a false flag. The idea that when the police plant evidence or stage a phony crime and then blame somebody for it, you know, they have to pay the price sometimes. They get framed for it. So anyway, on the left, we have the seeming false flag. And the turd in the punch bowl here, I don't know if that's the appropriate metaphor, but is A blames B. Okay, Israel blames Hamas. But Hamas is not exactly denying it, are they? See, that's what gets me on this. We 9/11 truthers, we busted our butts to get the truth of the controlled demolitions out there to people, to say this was an inside job. This was not a bunch of Arabs flying planes into towers. Where were the Muslims or the Arabs to back us up? Where were the Muslims or Arabs to say, hey, we didn't do this? Did the Saudis say we didn't do it? Did anybody who was being accused of this say, hey, I didn't do it? No. They were perfectly willing to take the rap. And that's what we see with a lot of these psyops, that truthers like us, I'm calling myself a truther, I know people don't like that expression anymore, fakeologists like us, auto hoaxers like us, we're calling this out, and these bastards still want to take credit for it. There were Muslims, American Muslims, that still wanted to take responsibility for 9/11. They were even proud of it. And that's what tells you you shouldn't be calling it a false flag. Because even if it really was committed by the United States government, if the Saudis don't mind taking credit for it, which they did, by blaming it on Osama bin Laden, they were validating the entire false flag narrative. We don't want to be playing into that, because it shows that not only is it not simply a false flag, but it's a psyop in which all sides are participating. And this is the Phil Crane moment for me, because I wanted to sympathize with the Palestinians. I really did. In the late 60s and early 70s, when I was a radical student in SDS, we had a fraternal relationship with the Palestine Student Association up there at Columbia Barnard, and with the Iranian Student Association at the time. The Shah of Iran was still in power then, and the political trends were very, very different than they are now. But, you know, I had friends who were Palestinian, and we would come out and we would demonstrate in support of the Palestinians and their rights. That's like 1970, 71, 72. But now, with what I see happening in Gaza, how can I possibly sympathize with these people? And so, no, I'm sorry. I'm not going to call October 7th a false flag anymore. Because you Palestinians, you haven't exactly been very vocal in exposing it. In fact, you produced scores and scores of
Here's the question, though. If it didn't happen, how could someone say, no, it didn't happen? If they could just say they weren't there. This is the problem with calling out these things that didn't happen on anyone's watch, because there's no witnesses. If something didn't happen, then there's no witnesses.
Yeah, there's no witness. But how do you know if it happened to begin with? Were there witnesses at the Trump rally?
Exactly. It's really, how can we verify any witnesses? I agree. If what we saw was, say, a closed set, and I got a little blowback for the closed set idea. And what I was saying is, okay, there might have been a rally, but maybe
the rally could have been down the street. Who knows?
Yeah, it's really hard to tell how they can fake these things. Yeah, there could have been a closed rally and a regular rally. Who knows?
Right, and we know it's like a movie set is closed.
Yes.
I've encountered downtown Baltimore back in the 90s. It's a very, very popular place for filming Hollywood movies. It became a lot cheaper to make movies here in Baltimore that needed an urban environment than in a place like L.A. or New York. And so there was a major push, economic push, to make movies here in Baltimore and a number of important.
Yeah, because you could break the unions and there'd be cheaper.
Right, right. And
same with Toronto, by the way. We offer 35% off because of our currency. So if you come up here.
Now, I have encountered a closed movie set right in the middle of downtown Baltimore. They put up those wooden barriers.
Hold on a second. I'm getting a little crap from some of the trolls in the chat there. If you want to call in, just call in. The phone line is 810-666-1984. If you want to join the studio, just type shortfake.com/restream. Come on. Wake up, boys. And if you want a link to the chat, go to fakeologist.blog. If you want a link to the articles, I explained all that. If you don't want to go to where I tell you to go, then sorry, you're out of luck.
Are you getting a Discord or where?
No, I'm getting whines by the in the comments. So do a little work. Get off your keyboard.
Link to the article. Come on over to Fakeologist. We've got all these articles here, you know? Come on, you know? But getting back to the diagram there, which I think is beautifully done. On the right, we have reality is that it's 100% PSYOP. That is to say, and this is important, A, with the participation of B, takes action C. So it's not really a false flag because the people who are being blamed for it are participating in the PSYOP, not necessarily physically, but by going along with the narrative, they're propping up and supporting this completely false, phony narrative. And so in that sense, is it really a false flag? Probably not. It's a PSYOP and both sides are in on it. And that's the point that Petra makes further on in the article. Let's see. In this article, I make the case that false flag is a propaganda term. Right. So here again, this is the argument being made by Tim Osman over at Infinite Plane Radio, the one that I argued with him about. And now I feel like, you know, I've gotten on the mat and he's arm barred me or choked me out. And I had to submit because I got to be humble now. I have to admit now that he's right. He's right. Let me finish reading this. The term false flag is a propaganda term designed to mislead those who recognize the falsity of official stories in order that they only get half the truth. Half the truth is a lie, just as much as...
Old time, 18.
Okay, hold on a sec. We're getting the call, I guess. Okay, go ahead, caller. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
It's Kevin Mooring. I've been trying to call in.
Well, good for you. You got through. Where are you calling from?
Calling from Missouri, my boy.
All right, my boy. Go ahead. What do you want?
I was just going to ask, there's a correlation to 9/11, which Lynn always brings up, 9/11 every fucking time he's on here. Here's the correlation.
Lynn is a lady, so don't misgender her, please.
Said when she calls in. Right? Just said that. But the person that took the photo, the bullet by Trump's head, right? The same person that took the photo of George Bush sitting down, he's reading the book, and he's being told 9/11's going on.
Okay, hold on. That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's all I want to say, my boy. That's all I want to say.
Okay, boy. What's the guy's name? That's a good one. I think I heard that today. Who took this iconic photo of the bullet?
The same person, just like the same person from the posed jumpers from 9/11, also took the same photo of RFK when he got assassinated. These photographers are in the right spot at the right time, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Trying to
Yes.
I should tie in 9/11, Lynn, because Lynn loves 9/11, and there's your 9/11 correlation with this event.
All right, awesome. That's great.
I've got that piece right here. Let me reference it. Photographer who took iconic photo of bullet near Trump's ear is a Pulitzer Prize winner. You know, look at this. His name is Doug Mills, M-I-L-L-S.
Okay.
And this is CNN. This is CNN reporting on this.
Of course. PSYOP News Network.
Yeah, and there it is. Photographer who took iconic. You want me to screen share this? Maybe.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
All right, let me screen share this. We'll use this.
It's easier that you screen share it and put the show notes or put it in the private chat there, and I'll grab it. Thank you so much, Kevin Mooring, for calling in. I'm glad you got through.
Yes.
I'm not coming in negatively. I just wanted to share that information.
That's all right.
It's important. It is. It's good. It's good to know.
It's okay. All right. Thank you for calling in, Kevin. Appreciate
it. Because basically what Kevin is saying is that these photographers, former clique, they're like a little Hollywood clique.
It's the PSYOP photo photographer, man. You got to keep it in-house, don't you?
Right. So let me see. But the claim, Kevin's saying that he also was involved in another event.
Did he say he took the iconic picture of the
one of the 9/11 photos? Let's see. Wait a minute.
Of Andy Card.
I wonder what he's got that Pulitzer Prize for.
President Bush's ear at the school book reading. Is that the picture? And
my pet goat. Oh, right.
The photographer. What's the iconic picture? Is when Andy Card, I believe he was
whispers in his ear.
Right. We can type in iconic photos of something Mills, Dennis Mills. No.
Douglas Mills. The pet goat, my pet goat is a grade school exercise. Has gone from who took the photo? That's what I'm trying to find here. Photographer. Let me find that photographer. I want to see if it's the same guy.
I'm going to take a look. I'm going to share my screen. And I'm looking at the same time. And Doug Mills is always a big guy here on the Twitter. Everyone's on Twitter. I'll follow him. So he's got some iconic.
They've got some others here, like Thomas Hopker, Mark Phillips. I don't know. There may have been several photographers taking that famous photograph of him whispering in the president's ear while sitting in that classroom. Of course, a lot of people are too young to remember that, but
this is another magic bullet here.
Right.
So these are all Douglas Mills's.
It's
photos.
His work. Yeah. Isn't he proud? Anyway, getting back to this business about false flag versus.
So did you find the iconic photo of Andy Card?
Yeah, but they're listing. Yeah, they're not listing this guy Mills, though.
Oh, okay.
So I'm trying to, let me see if they've got a.
Whispering to George Shrub Bush.
Yeah, why were.
He told Bush that they're under attack. This is the photo here.
Right. And by the way, the most memorable moment of that thing.
It says Wynn McNamee, Reuters.
Do you remember Bush claiming he saw the first plane?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Bush said, he made a big deal out of it. Just as I was coming in here, I saw the first plane hit the tower. And I told my Secret Service guys, boy, that's one hell of a lousy pilot. I guess Bush himself was a pilot in the Air National Guard, so he would have known. So that's one hell of a lousy pilot. And then later, people started asking, how could you have seen their first hit? Nobody got a video of the first hit, except maybe the Nord A brothers.
I think everyone got this photo. This one is Paul Richardson, AFP. I think everyone took the picture. Everyone was there.
Yeah, it was a big crowd.
Mm.
So anyway, getting back to this point about, everybody's got to be in on it. that's why when you call it a false flag, in effect, you're surrendering this eye to this idea that a real
event. Okay, I found it. Here's the one on this article. This one is attributed to Doug Mills. Okay. So, but it seems like everyone took the damn picture. Because like you said, everyone was there.
Well, it was iconic. That's the whole thing. It was iconic. So anyway, Petra Liverani goes through a list of these events, many of which have already been forensically deconstructed by Phil Crane. And she has a list of them at the bottom here. Pearl Harbor, the USS Liberty, JFK assassination, RFK, the Bologna train station bombing.
These okay, highlight that screen. Oh, wait, you are. Sorry.
Yeah, let me do a screen share here. Wait a minute.
I guess I should put the bullet picture as today's show notes.
Yeah, that's it. Those are some great, you know.
The fake bullet. Let's be honest. The fake bullet.
The fake bullet or the fake photo.
Yeah, the fake bullet. These guys are unbelievable.
So what Petra is saying is,
like I said last night, I think it's a chemtrail.
Yeah, chemtrail would be more believable.
Yeah, sorry. I'm making myself laugh.
So let me find this. Oh, controlling our minds is of utmost importance to those in power. And they are loath to remove that control by doing something for real unless they want it for real. If it's done for real, then that element of dupery is removed. And maximizing dupery is the name of the game, not minimizing. In other words, they want to maximize the trickery. Moreover, counterintuitively, propaganda works better the less it corresponds with reality, providing further reason to fake rather than do for real, unless you want the effect to be real. So, and, you know, you want everything to be fake. You want to be in control. In addition, doing for real is often impracticable and expensive, to the point of impossible in the context. Those in power always let us know when they're faking it. And he's arguing for revelation of the method here, and we don't all necessarily believe in revelation of the method, or she is, Petra Liverani. But she takes apart the attack on the USS Liberty, shows how that based on the evidence, it looks like it was totally faked. The false flag show and tell problem. What often tells us that a false flag is really 100% psyop is the discrepancy between show and tell. What they tell us about the nature of the attacks to the ship and the death and injury caused to the people doesn't match the images. We're talking about the USS Liberty here, but it's the same thing with 9/11. Or for that matter, Sandy Hook, if you think about it. I mean, when you see the images of these grinning, laughing parents, it doesn't exactly match the narrative. And you know, it goes on. She deconstructs the attack, as Phil does, the whole attack on the USS Liberty. And her conclusion is that we're better off not using the term false flag and instead using the term psyop. And as I say, my... Let's drop false flag in favor of psyop. As the term false flag misleadingly suggests, that it is only the who that is the problem, not the what. Wouldn't it be better to dispense with it and simply use the great catch-all phrase psyop? Because after all, these ops, no matter what or by whom, when or where, are all about mind control. So this is very, very similar to the discussion that Tim Osman has on this in the argument that he's making. I think she phrases it a little bit better and makes a stronger case. And I have to defer to it. I have to kind of, I have to kind of agree with it. And in my case, as I say, what inclines me to go along with this is the idea of, if it were really a false flag, then the people who are being falsely blamed for it would call it out as a false flag. But they don't. They don't. Instead, they produce fake propaganda themselves. And that's what we've got coming out of Gaza. So, no, I can't really call what's happening in Gaza or the attack of October 7th a false flag.
Yeah, because it's a fake false flag.
Because it's a fake false flag. And more important, even, the people who are being blamed for it won't even call it out. Won't even call it out. They won't call it out as a false flag. And obviously they're not. And that means it must be fake. If they were saying, hey, this is a false flag, we're being falsely blamed, then we might have to give some fair and just consideration to that. Yeah. They never do it. They never do it. And that means it's a hoax and they're in on it. They're in on it. And
A plus B are in on it. Absolutely.
Right. And in the
by
case,
the way, on this iconic photo of Trumpy here that I've got on my screen, I'll just show it to you. I'm going to make it tonight's show notes. And I'm also, I'll put flight 175 right here. And this will be the contrail behind it. I think flight 175 going right for the right ear. He got hit by the plane that went into the Twin Towers in his right ear. It just clipped him.
In the case of this Saturday event,
yeah,
you really see how inappropriate it would be to even use the phrase false flag.
Yeah.
Because we don't even know who the Patsy is or who. In other words, we don't know anything about the Patsy's agenda or which side he's on. This Thomas Matthew Crooks, he's probably a fictitious. Maybe, well, he can't.
I go with fictitious. Yes, yes.
Well, who's the one in the BlackRock infomercial then? That's the question. Because we seem
I think that's more chicken feed, like more chicken feed.
It may not even be as.
Why do we need to diagnose that? See how they get running around after chicken feed? Here, Chicky. They just keep throwing little rabbit trails all over the place for us to pick up.
You're right. It is. It's conspiracy theory chicken feed. It really is.
Yeah.
Because it's so confusing. You know, when you think,
you
look
know what
at
that does? That takes us away from quality shows like this and quality articles like this when we're chasing our own tails.
Yeah.
And all these little.
And this is the case. This is a case with a lot of these so-called active shooter events, like the Covenant School alleged shooting in Nashville. Oh, the shooter had this agenda. The shooter had that agenda. No. You know, so you're sitting around arguing, well, is the shooter a Democrat or a Republican?
Exactly.
You know, it's stupid.
And did you notice how these stories cover both sides? They said, well, he was a member of the Republican Party, but he gave to a Democratic super PAC.
Yeah, right.
Oh, come on.
Right. So, yeah.
Because everybody does that. It's kind of like Scott Adams, by the way. He says, he's a member of the Democratic Party because he doesn't want to be on a target list, but he's really a Republican.
What a crock
of
shit.
Kidding me?
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
You are ridiculous. Right. These guys.
And you know what that is? That's false flagging it. We don't need that. We don't need that. That's nothing but another rabbit hole and a distraction. And it usually ends up being absurd anyway.
Give me some truth. This is where the truth is right here.
I have never, ever, ever heard the Saudis or the Pakistanis use the phrase false flag. So if they're not going to use it, why should we use it? In a way, using the term false flag is giving them a pass. Same thing with these grifters, these Palestinians who are making these phony videos with the rubber babies. It's giving them a pass by calling it a false flag. Calling October 7th a false flag because they're in on it. So how can it be a false flag? They're obviously working together with the Zionists to propagate a hoax. And so, yeah, I have to conclude that we really should be dropping the term false flag. And whenever we hear or see anybody using it, we should be correcting them. We should be saying, you really don't know what the sides are. All you know is that the elites are behind this and they stage this to advance a certain agenda, and it's a hoax. It's a movie made for TV news. So who cares? Who cares who they blame for it, really?
Exactly. And this is the best show on earth. Not the Fakeologist show, but this political presidential show that they put on.
It's a circus.
It's on year after year. And by the way, Lynn, if you could go to shortfake.com/chat, Dave J wants to talk to you over there. So he's got lots to say. He wants you to, he's emailing you and he's saying some stuff to you in the chat tango chat. So I know you're always good when it comes to engaging on different platforms. Lynn is a big contributor at Fakeologist forums.
Which one is that? Where is that short fakes?
Yeah, just type shortfake.com/chat. Or if you go to fakeologist.com/chat, that's another way to get it. Or fakeologist.chattango.com. Everyone can go to that chat because it's sort of platform agnostic. You don't have to, because the YouTube chat I closed down. I closed the YouTube chat down when I delete the YouTube video, which I haven't deleted lately, but I think I'll delete tonight's YouTube video as well.
What's that called again? Shortfakes.com. I'm sorry, what is it again?
Yeah, well, my shortener is shortfake.com. That's okay. My shortener domain.
Got it.
Everyone needs to remember that. And then /chat, C-H-A-T, shortfake.com/chat. If you go in there, there's Dave J is in there. You can register. This is an independent platform. It's not my platform, but it's an oldie but a goodie. You know, sometimes the old platforms work better.
I agree.
Yeah. Well, yes, exactly. It's a no frills chat. It works pretty cool. And Buzzing Fret says in there, Lynn is the best in Fakeology. Yeah, I enjoy Lynn as well. And Lynn really brings it, of course. And it's a pretty good show tonight, I would say. Tomorrow you're coming back, Lynn. We're going to do more of this. You're going to, whatever you find tomorrow, we're going to.
I might get into some history tomorrow because, you know, we don't want to spend too much time on this fake Trump event, but
everyone loves Trump.
Yeah, we're all being entertained by him, aren't we? You know,
and is he okay? He's not. The Republican National Convention thingamabobber isn't going yet, I don't think.
Well, when his speech, is everybody going to be watching? Is it tonight, his speech?
I think something is happening. It's 20. Okay. This is on the Donald. Let me just show you guys here what I'm looking at. This is on the Donald J. Trump YouTube channel. I didn't know he had his own channel. Okay.
But that's not on True Social. Okay, it's a YouTube channel.
No, this is on YouTube. Donald J. Trump. He's there's 21,000 people watching. Okay, it is live. What's she talking about?
I've had the honor of meeting thousands of moms.
Okay.
My family is six.
Okay, I'm just going back here.
Clearly.
Oh, there's what's her name?
There are only two genders.
Okay, she's doing the gender thing.
Everybody at the RSC, top to bottom, somebody put your hands in the air and scream, baby!
It's a whole show, isn't it?
Yeah, they're crazy.
To come.
Oh, something
I'm so proud.
They're good.
Something I need to inform people about. Because I listen to a lot of right-wing AM talk radio.
Yes, you do.
And one of the characters I listen to is a guy named Todd Starnes, who's based out of Memphis, Tennessee. And he's always got congressmen and senators coming on his show, you know. And he's a classic Christian conservative. These are the people that basically got behind Trump, mainly over the issue of abortion. And he's complaining that the Christians, I know some of you will find this fascinating, the Christians, the conservative Christians, who are supposed to be the sort of the backbone of the Trump organ, you know, the Trump movement, are really treated like second-class citizens by the Republican Party, by the RNC, and these corrupt political hacks that run the Republican Party. And that he pointed to the fact that Christians are often given, you know, they're sort of pushed to the back of the line. And meanwhile, the people who get all of the money and the attention are the log cabin Republicans. And he mentioned the fact that Melania Trump has sponsored events for the log cabin Republicans and contributed money to them. I just found this very intriguing because it shows that Trump is really using these Christians. He's taking advantage of them. And
well, Yeah, no surprise there for me.
Yeah, and the Republican Party is on board with, you know, gay marriage and all that, just like the Democrats. So, you know,
the Uniparty. Hello, Uniparty.
Yeah, it's a Uniparty. Yeah, it is.
Well, let's hope that Trump has a better day today than he did.
Well, why do I raise this? Because our mission to the Christians, we're missionaries to the Christians. Our mission to the Christian supporters of Trump, Christian conservative supporters of Trump, is to expose him as the phony he is. And in particular, events like this, that they want to believe transform him into some kind of messianic martyr figure for them to, you know, another cult worship kind of situation. We really need to attack that head on. Hey, you guys who call yourself Christians, you're making an idol out of this phony that's on his third wife and, you know, drags a lot of busload of strippers and hookers behind him his whole life. But you're going to put him forward as the exemplar of the family-friendly Christian.
Hey, he's all they got. He's all they got.
So, you know, have a little, hey, Christians, have a little self-respect. Have a little dignity. Don't let this Judas go use you this way. You know, don't let him get away with these phony, fake events and trying to make himself out to be like these phony, fake, well, like the trial up in New York. That's about as fake as a cake in a lake. Oh, 34 felony convictions. They're going to time that. Yeah. The suspicion is that they're going to time that. So he'll have to do his. And by the way, if you or I were convicted of even a single felony, we'd be behind bars right now.
Well, don't forget, he wasn't convicted of a felony. It was a civil matter, and I think that got overturned today.
No. But the 34 counts of misreporting the payoffs to Stormy Daniels, those were felony convictions.
I think that's all lawfare.
Well, you're right, because the judge has not sentenced him yet.
Exactly. So he's not convicted.
Right. Technically.
Yeah. Technically.
The judge could throw out the verdict, couldn't he?
I think so.
Right.
All right, Lynn, let's come back tomorrow and we'll see what we talk about tomorrow. We'll do Trump or we'll do whatever else you got on the go. Thanks a lot for joining. And we'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's been real or fake.
It's been very real. Thank you, Lynn. And thanks everyone for joining in. Fakeologist.com/donate. These shows don't make themselves. If you are interested in doing value for value, you pay whatever you think the show is worth. And David just recently subscribed $1.19 a month via PayPal. We take PayPal. We take all kinds of things. Whatever you can, make a donation. We'd appreciate it. Fakeologist.com/donate. You pay whatever you think the show is worth to you. Different values for different people. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks, everyone, for joining, and take care.